Welcome to the Round Rock Church of Christ Teaching Podcast. We're a faith community located in the central Austin area that gathers at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We hope this teaching blesses you as we become spirit-filled and spirit-led Jesus followers for those who do not have a home.
It is so good to be together on this final Sunday of the year. My name is Matt Delano. I'm one of the ministers at this church, and I always love preaching on this last Sunday of the year. I feel like it's a gift and a blessing to me as we take inventory, right, of the year behind us, and as we know that the next year is coming fast. If you are here this morning and you are visiting with us in particular, I also just want to say welcome. We're glad you're here, and we hope you will feel God's love this morning. I also hope everyone stayed healthy, maybe used some breath prayers when things got out of hand, and ate plenty of cookies and popcorn and candy. If you're wondering, our Christmas was a little wacky, but that's okay. Sadly, we had the flu make an appearance several days before Christmas, and it brought gifts with it that we would like to return, right? But regardless, I'm here, right? We're on the mend. There was two things that I was just thinking of this last week that I think kind of bubbled to the surface for me in this season. And yeah, there's many things that happen, right? But one is there is nothing like seeing the wonder of a child, right? The twinkling in their eye, the hope for what's to come, the belief in things that feel unbelievable, like a savior in swaddling cloth. And the second thing, I'll just warn y'all, it's not so beautiful. It's the reality that as human beings, we are really inconsistent people. We second guess ourselves all the time. And I know this thought firsthand, right? We're people that get hungry and hangry, but we don't know what we want to eat, right? We're people that are tired, exhausted, and yet we binge that next episode of Bluey, right? Just kidding, I know. That's for kids. I love Bluey, though. We have this tendency, right, to do those things, but we also have this other tendency to do something called double speaking. To say yes out of one side of our mouth and no out the other side at the same time. To say we believe something, but to live where if anyone was watching us, our words and our actions wouldn't add up. I know for some of us, there's a deep temptation to do or say what we think people want to hear. And maybe that's from people-pleasing tendencies. Maybe that's from trauma. Maybe we're just not confident enough to say things for certain. To believe in what we can't see. Or maybe that has just let us down a time or two. If you don't believe this is true, let me show you something. I'm going to do something as our video team gets this ready, guys. YouTube is weird this morning. We'll figure it out. But there's this moment in this movie called Remember the Titans. Do y'all know Remember the Titans? Yes? This moment where at a time in Virginia in the early 70s of heightened racial tensions where a local school board is forced to integrate an all-white high school with an all-black high school. And so this is a moment at the beginning of this movie where Denzel Washington is Coach Boone, and he is the new coach of this integrated team, and he's meeting his players for the first time. And I think we get to see our humanity up close.
Play some ball, y'all. Black inside.
Hey, yo, P-Day, how many yards you think you're going to get this season, bro?
You know, I ain't want to brag, Big Blue, but I figure on at least 1,000. But I ain't want to brag.
Hey, didn't I tell you all them white boys weren't going to play for no brother?
Well, who needs them, baby? From now on, the Titans is going to be powered by soul power, bro. Instead of soul power.
Yeah.
put your hand down. You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
So. Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. No.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by
now. No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think, since you're thinking now, go on, think. No, is
no.
it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
All right, listen up. I'm Coach Boone. I'm going to tell you all about how much
all right.
fun you're going to have this season.
There we go. So something happens where Petey, the player, due to how much Coach Boone is throwing at him with so much intensity that he moves from football is fun and makes him happy to zero fun, sir. And yeah, it's funny. I mean, I love this movie. But I think this points to something that goes deeper. I think you could replace Coach Boone's question with conversations we might have. I want you to think of someone in your mind who you look up to, a coach, a mentor, a parent. And I think the conversation can sometimes go like this. They can come up to you and say, "Does God love you?" And you're like, "Yeah." And they come back again, "Does God love you?" And you're like, "Yeah, well, now he does." Or, "Does God love you?" "Yeah, if I..." "Does God love you?" "Yeah, but it's more complicated than that." Even though we claim to be loved by God, the whole reason maybe that you show up this morning, the reality that Jesus says yes to you and it's guaranteed, and yet what's going on around us and inside of us, even as we claim God's love, and yes, we often provide caveats with it. Like it's easier to not fully believe that God's yes is guaranteed, as if it's fleeting. And so today I want to remind us of just one thing. If the clicker works, it's not working, sorry. But it's this reality that God's yes is not flippant. God's yes is not just disposable. God's yes is not fleeting. And I know so many things, right, are thrown at us. I know for me, right, I don't do things to, like, people please because I want to, right? Or I'm like, yes, this is going to make me feel so much better, right? I mean, we don't want to be known as the flaky person or the person who never speaks their mind or the person who's easily manipulated. And yet I know that sometimes I struggle with God's yes that Paul is talking about because I equate other Christians waffling back and forth or my own waffling back and forth about God's ways to where we end up believing that God is the same way. That we end up believing that God waffles back and forth about whether he loves us on that day or this day. The world and our pain and our flesh sometimes leads us to think that God saying yes to us is conditional. And our doublespeak, which I mentioned earlier, is an attempt to say that we are able to provide the same type of yes that only God can provide. Mary Lynn Hudson, a writer, puts it this way. She says, "Today's culture is inundated with the rhetoric of doublespeak, the art of saying yes and no at the same time in order to win the support of the masses. But God's own spirit within us steers us away from such ambivalence towards one affirmation. God's ultimate yes in Jesus is God's no to evil in all of its forms." So with all this out front, this reality that so much of us, even within the church, we want to say yes and no because it's easier or it feels easier, and yet we know it causes more problems, right? It leads us to look inconsistent or it leads us to disappoint people, right? It leads us to choose dishonesty over honesty. And with all this out in front, I want to point us back to the text for today. I want to tell you how Paul speaks. And so if you have your Bible today, I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians. This is after the letter of 1 Corinthians and before Galatians in the New Testament. We're going to have the text on the screen when you need it. But just some background. I know Gil mentioned this a little bit, but this is a letter that is written by Paul. Someone that the church, I think it's important to say, the church as a whole, trusts a whole lot theologically. Like, we believe what Paul has to say. We believe Paul's experiences with God. And so that's important to name. And he is writing to this church in Corinth, which is a church that he actually helped plant in the first century. A church that he started, a church that he knows well. But when he knows the church well, it means they know him well too. And that's important to name. So he writes to start, I'm going to start in verse 15. And y'all, this is going to sound super weird, so just be prepared. Paul says, because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? So this may sound weird, right? But the reality is Paul is writing to his family, his church family, and Paul starts his letter by pointing to the reality of saying, y'all, I know I didn't follow through. like I wanted to come see you twice. Things didn't work out. And yet Paul feels the weight that I think a lot of us feel as Christians, right? He had initially planned to come back, and yet Paul, for some reason, something is going on in the church in Corinth where he feels like he has to defend himself, because I think he is wondering, is his perceived wishy-washy nature going to provoke unbelief in the church? And that may sound strange, but isn't it true for us? Like, if someone we trust, someone who follows Jesus, says something wrong or doesn't follow through, I think there's a chance that we start questioning who God is, especially maybe early on in our walk, right? And so Paul just understands, like, he doesn't want anything to get in the way. He doesn't want what he embodied and preached, the Jesus he brought to Corinth, to be misconstrued. For them to think that the same inconsistency of Paul is true of Jesus. And yet Paul does something beautiful here. We often explain ourselves for too long, right? We try to defend ourselves through explanation. Paul explains himself for a second, but then he gets to the consistency of God in Jesus. So let's read that. Paul writes, "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me, Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ, because he anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come." Paul is pointing to a God whose answer is yes to all the promises through Jesus. And Paul is writing it not as some outsider, but as a pastor and a friend. The God who answer is yes is the God who Paul is pointing to. The reality that if you have a foundation in that yes, in the yes of Christ, it provides stability even when the ground is giving way. Even when the people we have seen Jesus in the most disappoint us, lead us to second guess, or bring us pain. Those things do not lessen or negate the yes of Jesus. And I think it's important to say that, like, as followers of Jesus, Paul is also saying is that in this world, we are going to experience a ton of yes and no's, a ton of ambiguity. And yet, he says, if your foundation is firm in Jesus, then you can live with great ambiguity and also not live in great anxiety. Right? You can live not knowing everything. You can live recognizing that sometimes the people who God has said yes to say no back to God, right? And God doesn't turn his back on him. He actually says, here's another opportunity to say yes. Paul reminds them of a God who is faithful even when our eyes have been distracted by the lack of faith in our world. And what's beautiful is that while God's yes in Jesus is unchanging, he doesn't leave it at that. Instead, Paul says, just as Jesus would say, come and participate in this with me. Like, you don't just receive it, but then you respond to it. And it's so fascinating how simple he says, the response is literally, amen. A word that we often say to close a prayer, a word that in essence in the ancient languages would just simply mean, I strongly agree with those words. Like, let it be so. What's beautiful too, do you know the words that Mary said when the angel came? When the angel came and was like, hey, you're about to have a baby from the Holy Spirit. She gets to the end, or they get to the end right before the angel's about to leave, and she says, I am your servant, let it be so. She says amen to the yes of Jesus. And I think it's important to say when we respond with amen, we are saying again and again that we believe the promises of God. And not just that we believe them, but that they are available to us right now. All right. That was exciting. Sorry. We're going to stop here for a second because it is the end of the year. And I know a lot of you are experiencing this, but God has been doing some really beautiful things this past year. So I'm going to invite Ella Whaley and Joseph Elias up. They're going to share a couple testimonies this morning because one of the things that I think is important for us as a church, go ahead and come up, y'all, is the reality that we partner with God by saying amen to the stories that God is moving and changing and shaping, right? That is us saying amen to the glory of God. And so we're going to invite Ella and Joseph to share just a little bit this morning before we close out. But hey, y'all, thanks. So Ella is going to go first and share a little bit. And Ella, if you don't know her, is a teen in our student ministry. And her family have been at Round Rock now for 9 years since they came back from Australia. And Ella, I know you, and you've been on a journey this last year as it relates to your relationship with God. And so I just want to invite you to share with us about your desires and kind of the background of that hunger for God.
Yeah. So over the past year, I would say that I just felt like I was wanting to pray more and wanting to get to know God more. And about last year, around this time, I had several moments where I was I would be asleep or wake up in the night and want to read my Bible. Or I was in the prayer room one time and sitting in front of the worship board. And the lyrics that I thought of were, as the deer thirsts for the water, so my soul longs for you. And just moments like that. And I kind of, in the moment, I was like, well, that was weird. But then in June, when we were doing a Holy Spirit listening session, and I kind of examined my life and all of those moments, I realized that they weren't really weird moments. They were kind of like, they were meant to be, and that was God. And so I kind of shifted from that was weird and random moments to that was definitely God working in my life and like me wanting to reach out to God and him, you know, saying yes to me and like reaching out for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and I know you had mentioned that these moments were happening and you didn't fully realize it. And I'm curious, now that you have realized it, how do you feel like those experiences or encounters with God have like grown your yeses or how you're responding to God in this season?
I feel like I've been more confident in my like reaching out to God, like in my prayers. I haven't been like, I still pray little prayers, like little random prayers, like, you know, help me get a good night's rest.
Yeah.
But I've been way more confident and asking for things that could disappoint me because I know that like he is capable of answering prayers and I've experienced that. And so it's just made me more confident to pray what I want to ask for.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Well, last one, I just want to ask, as you have been praying those prayers, has there been anything in particular that's come up, like God answering your prayers in a specific way?
Yeah. In October-ish, I was really stressed about having to even think about making a decision to go to a summer camp. And I was so stressed about it that anytime someone wanted to talk to me about it, I felt like I was going to cry. I was just so stressed about it. And I was just praying every day in my prayer journal just to like work through that, just to even be able to think about it and not freak out. And like 4 days later, I thought about it because I was praying in my prayer journal and I thought about it and I was going to pray for it in like a way, like help me not be so anxious about it. But then I realized that it actually wasn't bringing me any anxiety. Like I could think about it and think, okay, well, I don't have to make a decision about this right now. And I just felt so much peace. And it was such a quick, like answered prayer.
Mm. Awesome. Thank you, Ella. That's great. Can y'all give Ella a hand? Thanks, Ella. Well, thanks, Ella. And now I'm going to introduce y'all for a second to Joseph. Y'all have probably seen him up here. Joseph's been a part of our Alpha program and has been killing it, leading that and helping us with that and just leaning in. And so I think I had met Joseph before, but we kind of re-met in July of this past year. Joseph and I sat down in a coffee shop. And so I just wanted to invite Joseph to come up and kind of share what was happening when he said yes to God back in July and kind of where things have gone from there. So I'll hand it over to you.
Cool. Hey, everybody. Good morning. Still morning. So last July, I moved back to the Georgetown area and it was a very, very hard season for me. I feel like I think at that time I thought I lost everything. I walked away from a whole life, everything I owned, my whole life. I walked away from it and came back here. And I was lucky enough to have some really solid family and friends who helped me reestablish. And in helping me, they kept pushing me to say yes to Matt, because he invited me to coffee and I really didn't want to go. And
thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Nothing. I'm glad I went. It was the best thing ever. But I was like, I'm gonna go meet this dude, see what he's gotta say, get a coffee and just I went in and I met Matt at Lamp Post in downtown Round Rock. And I'm pretty sure you remember. I mean, I was bumming hard. I was like in a really bad spot. I think I was just desperate. Mm-hmm. I think is the best word to describe how I felt. And I was willing to just surrender to just to saying yes, I think. And I just didn't know how. And yeah, that's where I was at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you, at that point, right, you jumped into Alpha for the first time, and now we've done three Alphas, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. So I think, so I met with you in July. Alpha, the first run was coming up in September, and we kept meeting up until that point. And so, yeah, I did Alpha with you guys the first run, and then have gone back since to as a helper, and then this last run helping with hosting.
Yeah. And I'm curious, like, as you're thinking about this stuff, like, is there a moment where you feel like you recognized God's yes in Jesus to you? Like a specific moment
Over this last year? yeah, big time. I brought notes, but I'm not even going to... I'm just going to wing it. so during the first run of Alpha, there's 12 sessions, I believe, in total. And each week we, like... tackle a different subject, and the fourth session, fourth session, the prayer, yeah. So the fourth session, we watch a video, and there's a painting, I believe it's in St. Paul's Cathedral, hanging of Jesus knocking, or standing outside of a door, and it's up to us to open the door and say yes to him. And there's a prayer in the book that we're given. And I remember sitting in that session the whole time and saying, like, I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to read this prayer. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to do the thing. I went home that night. I didn't do it. But the next day I did. And I was in a group chat text with Jody and Eric and Matt. And I think I had texted you guys, like, I'm going to do the thing. I want to light a candle. I'm going to sit in my room. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to say these words. And I did. And I waited a minute, like, looked around. Nothing happened. I'm like, okay, well, I tried. And I think at that point, I was on my knees still. I picked up my phone, and I was sending a text message. Like, I did it. And like, I think I was probably going to say something like, nothing happened. And before I could even finish that text message, I dropped my phone and I just started crying, like openly, like ugly, pouring out. I couldn't stop. It freaked me out. And finally, like, I feel like forever went by. I composed myself. I sent the text message and I drove over to, Bunny, if y'all know her, cause she was home and she's my, you know, like family to me. And I went home, I went over to her and I was like, I don't know what's going on. I can't stop crying. Like, I'm freaking out. What do I do? And she was working from home, so she helped me get myself together. And then it happened again. And I don't know what was going on, but I was totally emptying out and refilling. And yeah, awesome. That was awesome. Cool.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Well, one of the things that I think is important to just name, and then we'll let y'all go down, but is Joseph has had this beautiful experience, and I think it's important to name that his yes back to God, or his amen back to God, has been contagious to others receiving that yes, and helping them to realize that, like, the amen that's inside of them was untapped, right? It was log jammed. And yet Joseph is now walking with people in a way that they can recognize the voice of God, the whisper of God, and respond, right? And have a next step and a possibility with God. That's beautiful. So we just say thank you to both of y'all. We'll give them a hand as they head down. Thanks, y'all. Thanks. I'm always blown away by those realities that God is doing these things right here and right now. And I think it's important for us to name it and to feel it and to know it. And so I want to just close with a few simple things. I think I want to just invite us to take some inventory of the way God has said yes to you in this season. The ways that you have maybe said yes to God, or maybe the ways that you've also said no to God in this season. And we're going to ask God to kind of move in that. So what we see through testimonies like Ella and Joseph's is an invitation to what God is doing, and knowing that God is consistent, even when we don't understand it, And that God can do and will do what we need him to do, and he will do it with deep pleasure. And so the first thing I want to do, I want to invite you to take on kind of a posture of prayer just for a second. If you need to close your eyes, if you want to just sit still and just think, I just want to ask this question, or one question, and I want to invite you, if you feel like it in the 10 seconds after, to just say amen under your breath to God, okay? Because I want to hone in on God's activity, and I just wonder, are there some yeses from God this year? Evident ways he is working in you and around you that you need to say amen to under your breath. Ways that God has shown up to you in ways that you needed in maybe a time of grief, maybe in a time of transition, maybe in a time where you just needed to know God was there. I just invite you to, just for a second, to think about those things and to offer an amen if that's true for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The second one, I want to invite us to take inventory of our yeses. Maybe there was a moment this year where you heard the whisper of God inviting you to jump into something new, to make a life change, to get help, to go deeper with God. And as you think about that right now, as you think about saying yes to that, I just want to say that God is proud of you. God longs for you to continue to say amen in response to his yes. Even when it feels small, even when it feels like there's not something that immediately happens, God loves you, and it brings him great joy to experience your yes back. And then lastly, I want to invite us to take inventory of the no's. I'm sure every one of us in this room has had a moment where we said, nah, I'm good, God. That feels hard. That feels unnecessary. That'll make me look silly. That could cause some pain. And this isn't out of shame or guilt, but I think we have to name it, because I think there's something that happens when we name it. It may have been due to fear, maybe due to believing the lies that you can't handle that new thing. You can't do something different. Maybe you've let the silence or the hardship of fear convince you that God has said no over your life or over goodness in your life. For whatever reason or whatever you've said no to or couldn't get yourself to amen to, I think this is the time this morning where we have to lift our heads up to the cross and to the empty tomb of Jesus. Because has the Father accepted the Son upon the cross? Yes. Does the Father love the Son? Yes. Did the Father raise the Son out of the tomb and sit him at his right hand? Yes. And if the answers to all of those questions are yes, when your life is surrendered to him, the answer of God is never no and only yes towards your life. Because the way God thinks of Jesus, he also thinks of you. I think it's important we remember that this morning. I'm going to invite the praise team up, and I'm going to spend some time just for a few moments just praying over us. And there's going to be a moment as we sing at the end for you to receive prayer at the back. Also, I just invite you to maybe spend some time thanking God for the ways that he has said yes to you. And ask for more of those experiences in this new year. So let's pray together. God, we thank you that with what Paul's word said, that when you said yes to us in Christ, you didn't just say it, but you sent us your Spirit to confirm it. You sent us your Spirit so that we could participate both in the beauty of what you are doing, but also to participate in the life of bringing the kingdom to earth in a way that confronts the evil, the bad, the worst parts of this world. And so in this new year, as we head towards the end of this year, we ask you to come and to move in us. God, I ask for the person in this room who is not sure about whether your yes is for them. God, would you remind them that that yes that you have given in Christ is for every person, regardless of what they have done, regardless of how they have been, regardless of even what they thought of you. And I also have a sense, God, that there are some people in this room that they have seen you say yes to others and things that others have longed for in their lives, and they have felt like that is a no to the problem in their life, to the cancer diagnosis, to the financial instability, to the fertility issues. God, would you remind them that your yes is not fleeting or flippant, but it is for them in the same way. That you saying yes to other people never lessens or stops you saying yes to someone else. Your yes is extravagant, and we ask for you, we plead for you to come and move in our midst this day and in this year to come. We love you, and we ask that you would just whisper to us how much you love us. That we would just know it as we walk out of this place, that your love and your yes can change and rearrange things in our lives that we have spent years trying to change. We love you, and it's in your Son's name we pray.